Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So, I'm currently in the room on my own. My dad's blocked someone in, so he's gone to sort that out. And I thought maybe this was a good opportunity to go solo on my career.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
15.
Isn't it amazing?
Close to 20.
And they said it wouldn't last. Now, I noticed this morning, Ruthie, we were walking past a shop. And it was a school uniform shop, and they had the uniform of your old high school in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you wished you were still there at your
I wish I was still at my old high school because it was way less stress. And I wish I was still had a school uniform because how do you pick out an outfit every day?
Well, precisely. That was the point. And I just wondered whether you felt you were under too much stress. Why do you spend so long and then you try one jacket on and then you've got the weather, which is another sort of...
Yeah, the weather at the moment, it's like you go out in the morning and you're absolutely freezing. Then by the time it gets to midday, you're sweating and...
Yes, but do you think you put yourself under a lot of unnecessary pressure?
No, I like to look nice.
Well, I know you like to look nice, but just, you know, you really are challenging yourself to look the and not wear the same things that you've worn before.
I wear the same stuff I've worn before, but I don't wear the same thing 2 days in a row. I'll wear the same top 2 days in a row, the same bottoms 2 days in a row, but I don't wear the same top and bottoms 2 days in a row. I'm like one of those, you know, books for kids where you can, like, switch the top and the bottom.
And the other thing I noticed this morning, because I was thinking about stress, and I've got a thing that I'm going to share with you from Psychology Today, and I noticed you said to me, we were talking about the trains and the fact they've changed the timetables for the trains. And when you watch...
Tell me about it.
When you watch the news on TV, it's all about how this affects commuters in the south of England.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really bothering about how it affects...
The forgotten north.
How it affects schoolgirls in the north of England. You were telling me about the train times, and you were saying that the train has to get in absolutely on time for you to get to school on time, and it's often a little bit late. And you said to me, Beso, if it's late... I'm late for school. And I thought, Beso? And then you said that's short for basically. And I thought, wow, she is under stress. If she hasn't even got time to say the word basically.
That's not about stress. That's just about not wasting time, being efficient. 1, 2, 3, keep going, keep moving.
Beso.
No, I actually don't even, I was saying Beso ironically, I didn't mean it.
No.
This is the thing that I start saying stuff ironically and then it goes into my actual vocabulary and then...
Are a lot of kids saying Beso these times?
That people say no, I don't even know whether it's an actual thing. I've just made it up, to be honest.
And what about fam?
What up fam?
Yeah. What up fam?
Yeah.
What does what up fam mean? Just what's going on?
Fam. It's not much as much for your family. It's like for your friends, like what up fam.
Oh, right. So it doesn't mean family?
No, not really.
Well, I'll tell you what. Should we officially talk a little bit about stress?
Oh, officially? Before we were just...
That was just a sort of introduction to the subject of stress.
A prologue.
Should we talk about stress?
Come on.
I noticed this morning that on the same page of one newspaper, there was not one, not two, but three stories about diet, about what you eat and
how... I thought we were talking about stress.
Well, I was wondering, before I get into what the stories are, if you feel stressed about your diet all the time, because you seem to me to be a little bit...
I'm not stressed about my diet as such. Like, it's more about the way that I look, which is intrinsically linked to diet.
I mean, you're clearly not overweight or anything, but these stories...
Clearly.
The stories this morning, then. These are the stories this morning in the paper. Children who watch junk ads eat more. Young people who watch a junk food advert a day eat 350 more calories a week than those who see fewer.
350 calories a week is nothing.
No, A, that's nothing, and B, it's another meaningless statistic, because...
The kids who are watching the junk food ads as well are probably the kids who are watching more TV, which means that they'll be eating more anyway. Like, it's just stupid. Also, people don't understand what a healthy, calorie intake... And I lump myself in with this. I look at something and I think, oh my gosh, that's got 500 calories in it. But actually, in perspective, that's not that much.
No.
It's weird, especially I think with teenagers, is that you know one thing. Like, I know that I'm not fat. I had this conversation. I don't know whether this is too personal to share, but...
Nothing's too personal to share.
TMI.
What's TMI?
Too much information.
Yeah, go on. Then.
I don't know whether this is TMI.
No, give us
but
TMI.
I was in a changing room in Topshop, and I was trying on clothes, and I was just like, oh, I just look so fat. I'm fat. Mum was like... Yeah, but you're not fat. I was trying on a size 8 and the sizes go up to like 16 in Topshop. And Mum was like, so you're clearly not fat. Like, you know that you're not, because you're trying on a size 8 and there's a size 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. They're all bigger sizes than you. So you know it. And I was like, yeah, I know it, but inside I feel something different.
Well, I'm just wondering if all the publicity is just puts too much pressure in. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, maybe it'd be better if no one spoke about it. It probably would be better. But then again, I talk about weight and like sizes of clothes every day with my friends, but that's not reported. I think people think that it's...
So what do you say to your friends when you're talking about clothes? What are you...
We'll talk about like, oh gosh, I really need to get fit, or I need to start going to the gym soon, or if I just lose 2 pounds, or I won't eat that because I ate this an hour ago, or whatever, you know.
It's stupid. I mean, it's
not stupid. Just me either, it's everyone. I think that it is a natural thing that girls go through when they're 14 to 18 or whatever.
There's just too much of it now, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's just because people talk about it more and people try and examine it.
So we're getting lots of phone calls, Ruth, from people saying, yeah, we're enjoying all the chat about stress and we're enjoying all the obesity stuff. Phone lines are going berserk here. But what about Ruth?
I thought you were serious then. I was like, what is going on?
Shh, don't give the game away. And a lot of people saying, where's Ruth's impression this week? Because you did Saoirse Ronan.
I thought you'd forgotten.
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan last week, and you did
Saoirse.
So let's not start that again.
It is Saoirse, you know, as well. Saoirse, because yeah. I googled after, so we got a comment saying Ruth's pronouncing Saoirse wrong, which was a large premise of my stuff on Saoirse Ronan. So I was hoping it wasn't true, and then I googled around it and stuff, and the way that Saoirse Ronan pronounces her name is Saoirse Ronan, but if you're from a different part of Ireland, you might pronounce it as Saoirse Ronan.
Because what I thought was, when I thought it was Saoirse Ronan, and I thought that's right, but with your Leeds accent, it sounded like Saoirse Ronan. And the good thing about your Leeds accent is that this week...
I've not even had to prepare an impression.
Not even had to prepare, because you're doing Mel B.
Hello, I'm Mel B.
Excellent. It's really wickedly accurate, and almost as if she's in the room. All right, let's do music. We'll start with mine, and I don't know whether you've heard of this guy. You may very well have just heard of him, Scott Walker. Have you heard of Scott Walker?
I don't think so.
No. Well, he's a great reclusive genius. He's American. He was born in 1943. You notice most of my people were always born in the 1940s or very early 50s. But he was born in 1943, came over to Britain in the 60s. His real name is Scott Engel, but he's now known as Scott Walker because he joined the Walker brothers. Now, the Walker brothers...
Walkers, salt and vinegar.
No, these were the Walker brothers in the 1960s. And they did some great versions of Burt Bacharach songs. Mm. You're very familiar with the work of Burt Bacharach. They did me.
I'm familiar with that one song.
Which one?
Elvis Costello one.
Elvis Costello.
His house is empty now.
Well, that's sort of late Burt Bacharach, but his early stuff, like The Look of Love, you know that
the
one.
The Look of Love.
That one, Dusty Springfield.
Know it.
And he also did, he wrote a song called Make It Easy on Yourself.
Make it easy.
You don't know that one, do you? Make it easy on yourself.
No, don't know it.
No. The Walker Brothers had a hit with that,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of other Burt Bacharach songs. And then he went solo.
What's his name again?
Scott Walker.
Scott Walker.
Yeah, he went solo and he did his albums. Let me tell you the titles of his first four albums. Scott 1, Scott 2, Scott 3.
Wait, let me guess. Scott 4?
Spot on. Nothing gets past you. And he recorded a lot of songs written by a Belgian guy called Jacques Brel. Have you heard of Jacques Brel by any chance? Brel, B-R-E-L.
No. Nope.
Belgian guy, born 1929, died 1978. Wrote, your friends who like revising to French songs would enjoy the work, and yourself would really enjoy the work of Jacques Brel.
Is that Jacques spelled J-A-C?
J-A-C-Q-U-E-S.
Ooh, Jacques.
Jacques Brel.
And like Jacques.
Cousteau.
Yeah. Who's that?
He's an underwater explorer. So you're learning
underwater
things.
Explorer?
Yeah, Jacques Cousteau.
What was he looking for?
What was he looking for? I don't know. Just the organisms and the world underwater. It was on telly, Jacques Cousteau.
How long ago was that?
80s possibly, 70s, 80s.
Did he find anything?
He found lots of fish. He found other aquatic life.
He wasn't like looking for shipwreck.
No, not shipwrecks.
When you say explorer, you make it sound cooler.
Yeah, no, he was an explorer in the sense that he was exploring the world underwater. Because you've seen David Attenborough, Blue Planet.
I love Blue Planet.
Well, you would have loved Jacques Cousteau, except he wasn't sort of campaigning about the amount of plastic in the water, because there wasn't that much in those days.
So, your song is by Jacques Cousteau then?
No, the song was written by Jacques Brel, performed by Scott Walker. It's a shame I can't play the whole thing for you. This is called Matilda, but you'll get the idea. A lot of people in Britain would not have discovered the work of Jacques Brel were it not for Scott Walker, and here he is doing one of those songs.
Charlie, don't want another beer. Tonight I'm gonna drink my tears. Matilda's come back to me. Go ask the maid if she heard what I said. Tell her to change the sheets on the bed. Matilda's come back to me. Fellas, don't leave me tonight. Tonight I'm going back to fight. Wretched Matilda's inside.
Just 20 seconds, which is all we're allowed.
Just 20 short seconds.
Which is all we're allowed.
For reviews purposes.
He did quite a few Jacques Brel songs.
And then he drowned.
Who?
Jacques Cousteau.
You just
been... Alive?
Jacques Cousteau. Now, there's a question. Jacques Cousteau, I believe, is no longer with us. But I don't know. I'll have a look while you tell us about your tune, which actually did surprise me.
Who's this by?
Who's your tune by?
Yeah, because I actually don't know, because I know it from the soundtrack.
Yes, it's from the soundtrack of Shrek, and you asked me to find this tune for
and
you.
And I want it specifically from the soundtrack of Shrek.
Yeah, well, this is from the soundtrack of Shrek.
And the song is Accidentally in Love.
I have to say,
that was good, wasn't it? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fine. But I have to say, when you did ask me to download it and I downloaded it for you, I thought it was pretty... The word you would use would be basic. Or I would say basic.
No.
I'm not saying it's basic in that sense. That it's new, but it's Counting Crows, who are around the 90s. Well, it's okay, but it's not. You're not introducing me to a genre of music that I wouldn't otherwise have encountered, because I've played Counting Crows. You must have another reason for it.
You are something else. You've guessed right. So, how popular do you think Shrek is?
What, the film?
Yeah.
Shrek 1?
Shrek, all the Shrek, just Shrek.
Based on what?
Just based on your knowledge.
I would say extremely popular.
But, like, how popular do you think it is with 17-year-old teenagers?
Sort of reasonably popular.
It is unbelievably popular. you would, the amount, so it's become a massive meme.
Can I just say, before you tell me it's a massive meme, and I'm looking forward to you telling me about that, can I say, just for anybody who was concerned about Jacques, Jacques Cousteau is still alive.
Killed Jacques Cousteau?
No, he's dead. He's dead. I mean, not.
You brought him back to life and then you killed him again.
I've killed him again. His real name is Jacques-Yves Cousteau, but known here just as Jacques Cousteau.
How are you spelling Cousteau?
C-O-U. S-T, you do French, you should know.
C-O-U-S-T-E-A-U.
Of course. So Jacques Cousteau, born 1910, died 1997.
That's not a long life, really.
It's 87 years. He was pretty wrinkly when he died. 87 years, a lot of them spent underwater. He was a French naval officer.
He was just all pruny. Being in the water.
Precisely. A French naval officer, explorer, conservationist, filmmaker, innovator, scientist. So
that's funny. If he wasn't actually wrinkly, he was really young, but he just so pruny.
He co-developed the aqualung. He pioneered marine conservation.
Legend? How have I never heard of him?
He was asked, well, you have now, you see. That's the whole point of this podcast, is that you teach me things, I teach you things, and that's why.
And such a good singer as well.
Don't get Jacques Cousteau mixed up with Jacques Brel. What was I talking about?
I was saying.
Oh yeah, you were saying.
Shrek is a massive meme.
Ah, Shrek. What? How do you mean it's a massive meme?
It's been turned into a meme a lot, but it gets turned into a meme all of the time.
So people use the visuals from Shrek, and then they
visuals from Shrek, all sorts. Like after the royal wedding, there was pictures of like Shrek and Fiona when they were getting married, and people would be like, the only couple I care about. And so the soundtrack is also really popular now. Have you heard of the song All Star by Smash Mouth?
No.
It's the one, and the years start coming and they just start coming. So much to do, so much to see, so what's wrong with taking the back streets? You never know if you don't try. Hey now, you're an all-star. You know that song?
No. But...
No? That's become like a really, really popular song through the film Shrek, and everyone listens to the Shrek soundtrack. It's a bit like, you know, I was telling you about how the Bee Movie has had a resurgence in popularity through memes and internet culture.
The Jerry Seinfeld one.
Yeah. It's a bit like that with Shrek. This brings me on to what I really want to talk about.
Ah, so we have a new topic, a transition, you should have said.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The dark humour of millennials, stroke Generation Z or X or whatever. The Washington Post published an article saying, "Why is millennial humour so weird? Comedy that appeals to young people can be surreal and dark and completely meaningless." He went on to talk about how this humour has got increasingly dark and twisted and very strange and makes it impossible to explain to anyone else. And so there was some studies done into like traditional sources of where we find meaning from. That's like religion and the formation of the family and how those are becoming less relevant and less important. So these sources of meaning have become less relevant. And Tom Skocker said that for millennials, lasting careers are out of reach. Millennials are told to go to college, but this only leads to debt. They put off having kids and buying a house. And so they don't have as much meaning in their lives. So they go to these weird forms of humour. And so that's what I want to talk about, is how Shrek has become that. It's dark as in weird. Like, it's nonsensical. Here's a Shrek one.
So that's a picture of Shrek with sunglasses on?
Well, I think they're, like, the type of glasses that people wear when they're blind. And then that's Braille at the top.
Ah, right. The joke you've shown me there is just Shrek being blind, which is sort of what we used to call sick humour years ago.
Sick?
Sick, you see, but not sick in the sense...
No,
wow,
I get you.
That's sick. Do you want to tell you how far back sick humour goes?
Go on.
Lenny Bruce, who you'll never have heard of.
Hey.
Who was a... Have you heard of Lenny Bruce?
No.
They used to call his humour sick humour because he would take something like, for instance, The Lone Ranger. Have you heard of The Lone Ranger?
Yeah,
it was a movie, yeah. And his sketch he used to do was The Lone Ranger arriving in a village, clearing up all the trouble, you know, killing the bandits and all that sort of thing. And then riding...
Clearing up all the trouble, killing all the bandits.
Yeah, and riding off into the sunset, which is what the Lone Ranger used to do. They would have a go at the Lone Ranger for riding off to the sunset because they'd set out a whole trestle table full of treats and they were going to celebrate him in the village and all that sort of thing. And that was what Lenny Bruce did. And it's a similar sort of thing, you know, taking something popular like the Lone Ranger and putting a twist on it. And this is just saying something popular like Shrek and putting a twist on
it. But it's become... I think what the studies have said is that it's become increasingly weird due to an inability to
grab
anything, grasp anything.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it is mildly interesting.
Mildly.
But I think it's also one of the reasons, and you could probably tell me if I'm right or wrong, is that it's much easier now to Photoshop pictures. It's much easier
than
it ever used to be.
Yeah.
You know, you might have had an idea in the back of your head, or I'll put a picture of...
Yeah, like it takes 2 seconds. You've noticed that I've got... This can be for the listeners, or you might cut it out, but I've got a bit of a lisp this week. I want to make...
This is very charming.
I want to make it a disclaimer, because I've got this massive spot on my tongue. Like, it's huge. It's like a crater, and it's really painful. And it's making me be a bit lispy.
It's what we call a mouth ulcer.
No, it's not a mouth ulcer. No. Because I have a mouth ulcer right there. No,
it's a crater, then.
Because it's on my tongue.
Well, you do get a mouth ulcer on your tongue, you know.
And I've got all these spots at the back of my tongue. I'm a bit worried I've got Kawasaki disease.
That is another trouble with the internet. In the old days, it's really painful. I know how painful mouth ulcers can be because I get them myself.
These are particularly bad because I do get mouth ulcers a lot. And I was reading diagnoses.
That is the problem.
I was reading through diagnoses on diagnosemyself.com. It was like canker sores, which are mouth ulcers.
I looked at your browsing history. It wasn't diagnoseyourself.com. It was scaretheshitoutofyourself.com.
It was like canker sores, which are just mouth ulcers. Then...
Probably because of your craters that you're not able to keep...
Yeah, it was like canker sores. And then it was like Kawasaki disease. And there was
Kawasaki's a motorbike.
Well, I don't know. And then there was a whole load... It was definitely called Kawasaki.
Was it?
And then there was a whole load of other ones. And then one of them just said taste buds. The bumps at the back of your mouth might just be taste buds. But then the last one was cancer.
You could have any symptoms whatsoever, and if you probe deeply enough on the internet, you will be frightened that you've got some cancer or other.
It's sad.
Well, it's very sad for people who've got it, but it's not sad for people who've got mouth ulcers. It's painful when you've got mouth ulcers.
This is a really particularly bad one.
Yeah, of course it is, because you've got it.
No. This is a particularly bad one.
I know.
I've shown my friends and they say it's bad.
Do they? Ruth, we're going to, if you can struggle through it with your terrible, terrible affliction, let's move on to Made in Chelsea.
Liv and Digby broke up.
Oh, no!
But I just did that as like a little spoiler for you. But at the beginning of the episode, Toph meets with Sophie Herman and Oliver Locke. And they decide that Toph is going to throw a twisted tea party. So think Alice in Wonderland again and Narnia. That's what kind of costumes people were wearing. Because it was the season finale. It was the season finale. But next week, guess what starts?
New season.
Nope. What's the one I'm really excited for?
Well, you're always really excited for some stupid programme on the telly.
No.
What is it? Something I like as well.
No.
Is it Our Celebrity?
Is it Love Island?
Love Island.
So you've just had to get to grips with these relationships that starting from next week, you're going to be getting to grip with some new relationships. In the season finale, there's always like a big glamorous party to kind of see everything off and whatever. It was actually not that dramatic, really, for the end of season finales. Usually there's like drinks flying around and all sorts, but it wasn't really. So Liv, at the beginning of the episode, we learn that Liv and Digby have broken up, and Sam and Harry Barron are really supporting Liv. And a girl called Tabitha, who is an old school friend of Liv's and Harry Barron's, sees them and comes over and explains that she's just recently gone through a breakup as well. And Liv says, yeah, I've just broken up with Digby, and she's really distraught about that. Liv says, I've not been in touch with Digby, I've not even seen him, I'm not meeting up with him, because Sam and Harry really feel like Liv needs to be strong and not see Digby anymore. That's what Harry and Sam think. Tabitha is walking past a cafe and sees Liv sat with Digby having a talk about their relationship and getting back together, and Liv wants to get back together and so does Digby, even though they're not right for each other at all, Dad.
Why are they not right for each other? Liv is the owner of Bentley cars, or
she's not
the Bentley family.
She's the the
heiress. She's the Bentley.
Because she's quite she's very sarcastic, and she's quite, like, I really like the character of Liv. She's very sarcastic, very upfront, and she's a bit of a party girl as well. And Digby, like, never goes out. He's, like, goes to the gym all the time, and he's really, like, boring, and he doesn't get her humour. Like, he's not very witty and quick. Watching the show, you can tell that Liv's not herself. Like, she's not, like, very much like how Liv was a season ago.
She's not,
two seasons ago.
Not as witty and funny and lively, is that
no,
what
yeah, exactly. Yeah. She seems really, like, not herself, like she's pretending to be someone else.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it is actually quite sad, though.
Mm, it is.
But next week, although the season is over, we've got the season wrap party.
Ah, so that it'll be still on the telly next week, then?
Yeah, kind of, but it's not, like, an actual episode. It's like them; they all sit in a studio and... Then the presenter, she'll get Liv and Digby up, and she'll be like, so Liv, Digby, still together? And then she'll might get Liv and Sam up, and she might be like, Sam, so what do you have to say to Liv now? Like that kind of thing.
Kardashians, do we...
Yeah.
Can we lump them in with Made in Chelsea? And
No, I want the transition, please.
Okay, have a transition then. Here we go.
Completely different things. How dare you even suggest that?
So, we've learnt about Made in Chelsea. It's now time to move on to a completely different area. Absolutely, by a complete contrast, we're going to find out about keeping up with the Kardashians.
So,
there's a lot of Kardashian news this week.
Well,
I saw a big feature with...
With Kendall Jenner?
Kendall Jenner, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that wasn't news. There wasn't anything new. I read it. There wasn't anything new in there. It was just her talking about being the it girl of fashion.
Oh, right.
So, Khloe Kardashian has shown off her daughter True's nursery. This is the daughter with Tristan Thompson. And this nursery includes the crib, which is the same one as Kim Kardashian has used for all three of her children.
Mm.
When I googled Kardashian news, however, that was the top, like, five articles, like, full-page articles that I had to read through to get the gist of the story, which is that Khloe's got a crib.
The things you go through for this podcast.
Yeah, I know. So my other bit, this is not news per se, because it's not, like, nothing's happened, but Kylie Jenner has the word meow tattooed on the inside of her lip, just like there.
Right. Just where you've got one of those craters.
Oh, so painful. I've got them all over.
Yeah, I know, you made the point.
And so she got this drunk and she told Ellen, there's no real meaning behind it. I just wanted to be able to say I have a tattoo on my face.
This is, it was actually an interview I did on Talk Radio last weekend. The woman is a former professional racing car driver. She's called Leilani Munter.
Is there another person called Leilani?
Oh, there probably is. I don't think it's that unusual. It's a German name, obviously. Munter is a German name. She's American. At least she's American now. And she's decided she's not going to have children. She wants to remain child-free. Mm-hmm. She's 44 years old. She broke up with the boy that she was with because he wanted children, and then he decided that he could live without children. That was 12 years ago. They've been married since 2009. She says the only babies in our house have four legs and are furry. Referring to the fact that she has three rescue cats in the house. So she's become a patron of a charity called Population Matters. It's a British charity that campaigns to end population growth. And she's got lots of frightening statistics about how many people there were in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering what your reaction is and whether it's the sort of campaign that you would approve of, so stopping people having kids, basically?
No one should stop anyone having kids, nor convince them to have kids. I think what is a good thing is that she's come out as a woman and said, I don't want to have kids, and that's okay. Yeah. I think that's good. But
I think there is too much pressure, because you're always...
There's too much pressure on to have... There's too much pressure both ways. There's too much pressure on you to have, as a woman, to have kids, because that's what you're seen as doing. And, like, I remember a girl saying at high school in an RE lesson, if you don't have children as a woman, then that's, like, you're not really a real woman, because that's what you're made for, to be able to have children. And I was like, I didn't say this because, you know, I didn't want to start a fight. But, like, I'm not just, like...
Were there lots of fights in RE lessons?
I'm not just, like, an empty vessel for you to, like, store your stuff in. Like, that's just a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, that was more like a Catholic. It's a sort of Catholic thing
to say. And then on the other side, though...
Because we ought to say it was a Catholic high school.
I personally want to get married and have children, and that's kind of what I want to do. Probably, when I'm older. I can't say exactly because I'm 17, but probably. And there's a bit of a thing of, like, you're not a real feminist if you want to get married, because it's, like, a societal construct to keep women behind men. Which is fair enough to say, but you should never... There's not one way to be a feminist or a woman.
So why do you want to have children, particularly?
Because they're so cute.
They're so cute.
No, because I want to have children. I want to raise other people. Like, that's just... I don't think
because you feel that's your purpose, to be here on the planet.
It's not my purpose. My purpose is lots of things. I want to have a career and I want to travel. But at some point, I would like to have children.
Would you applaud this woman who said she's going to stay child-free?
Yeah.
And as
that's fine if you want to have no children.
Is urging other people to stay child-free?
Well, I don't think you should ever urge other people to do anything. You should never urge other people to have children or not have children. I get it, because you should... What would you recommend? Like a one-child policy? That's worked terribly in China. I mean, there was like massive rates of female infanticide and...
There was, you're right.
Child suicide, and
maybe it's one of those things that you can't solve. What do you do about the planet thing is, running out of resources?
We talked about this with tons of times with friends and at school and stuff. Of like, the ideal thing to do for the world to be the best place would be to kill half the people, but you're not actually ever going to kill half the people, because it's crazy.
Yes, well, that is the problem, isn't it? The problem is...
The thing would be to do is that everyone should be vegetarians.
In the past, we've had wars.
Over resources.
And that's culled a great deal of the population. Or there have been diseases. You know, people used to die of flu. You know, a lot of people...
And people, there was like the plague, which killed like 75% of Europe or something crazy like that.
And whenever you see dystopian fiction, one of the things you often see is killing older people, you know, so that there was a film called...
But you don't even have to look into dystopian. You can just look at in like Native American tribes. It wasn't a terrible thing to do. And we learned about how like we can see it. As historians looking back, you can see it as savage, but it wasn't. It was elderly people, when they would move from one area to another with the buffalo, the older people would be left out in the wilderness to die, because that was the best thing for the tribe to survive.
And you have suggested that a few times. I've overheard you talking to your mother saying,
"Should we just leave Dad out to die?"
Which is one.
Yeah, we had that snare, and I was like, "Should we just put him out?"
There was a film years ago called Soylent Green with Edward G. Robinson. I think I've spoken to you about this film before. And the idea was, care of the elderly is a real problem. You know, elderly care homes are often really bad conditions, and the resources aren't there to look after old people. And these were quite nice elderly care homes. The thing being was, when the elderly people were being killed and turned into protein, which was then, the protein was called Soylent Green, and was sold, you know, as a food. So people were eating the older people.
I wouldn't recommend that.
No, probably not.
If people were vegetarians, it actually would be better, though.
Well, it looks like I'm not going to have time, Ruth, to go into this report in Psychology Today, which is very interesting about stress.
Oh, no.
Stress.
You should have done that at the beginning, because we were talking about stress.
The problem is, you have so many delightful topics that you want to introduce that it's sort of...
I cannot... get a break, catch a break here. I either do too much prep or not enough prep.
You've done just the right amount this week, and I thank you for it. But it sort of derails me. But then also, of course, we had to spend a lot of time talking about this terrible, terrible complaint you've got, which means that next week, who knows whether you'll be here or not. You may very well have been dragged into A&E. Good news, though, if you get dragged into A&E at Leeds General Infirmary, you may very well encounter Davina McCall, who's doing a programme from Leeds General Infirmary about all the terrible cases, none obviously as bad as yours, but all the terrible cases that get brought into A&E.
A&E, yeah, no, I did see this advertised, actually.
Yeah, well, I watched a bit of it last night.
What's it like?
It's mildly entertaining. I mean, Davina McCall is someone you can only take so much of, I think. She's just
a bit jolly.
A little bit over jolly, to be honest. But, yeah, it was an interesting enough programme. But as I say, we're not going to have time to go into that psychology today. It was just something I looked up on the internet because I thought, let's find out what the internet's saying about teenage girls. And I did do... I just did a search initially saying teenage girls and realised that was probably not the right thing to search for on the computer.
Oh, gross.
So then I put teenage girls stress and I did get reports from Psychology Today and stuff. But just before we go, one story about looking up things on the internet. In the sort of fairly early, very early days of the internet, actually, Martha was, I think she might have just started high school. And this is Martha, who's now 27 years old and working for The Guardian. Martha, who then was at just starting high school or end of primary school, was doing a project on cheerleading. She'd seen it in some American films. Yeah, she'd seen this in American films about cheerleading. I can't remember. What's the one about the cheerleaders?
Bring It On.
Bring It On, one of those. And she said, and at the time, we didn't have the internet at home, but at the BBC where I was working, they did have, we had the internet at home, but it was dial-up and it was really took forever. They had the Ethernet.
Dial-up. That's a throwback.
Yeah, it is a throwback. They had the Ethernet at Radio Leeds, so you could get on it a lot faster. So I'm working there at the BBC, and she's asked me, can you print out whatever it's got on cheerleading? So I go into the internet, I go into the search engine and put in cheerleaders. A lot of pictures came up, and that was just the moment that the boss appeared behind my shoulder saying, oh, what are you looking at there?
And on that note...
I can dub in some laughter later, so don't worry about that.
Tuning in to week 15 of the podcast, and we'll be back next week.
We will indeed.
All, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, yes, let's make sure we add that.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.